This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are, the Chinese have pulled off an epic hardware hack that is just simply unbelievable. Selfies, did you know the death toll for selfies? Selfies, we'll go into that. Fitbit data used to charge suspect with a murder. And a Windows update that just might wipe out your computer data. I want to welcome you to episode 1318 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, October 4th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Or you can support this show at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the listeners. Thanks for being here. Of course, if you're brand new to the show, thanks for being here as well. Got a great lineup of content for you tonight. Wow, we have got a story that is just going to blow the majority of you away if you haven't already heard about it. But more importantly, if you're brand new, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. When you come over to the website, it's real simple to subscribe to the show. All you got to do is just grab the link there to Apple Podcasts or an Android via email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify. Those are all places you can go and get this show. And this is the way you get connected with the podcast. Of course, we've got a newsletter that you can sign up for as well. So consider that. And of course, you can watch this show. This show is easy to watch as well. We're on a lot of different platforms. Of course, Facebook is a great place, but to catch it via podcast, just go to your Apple TV. That's a great way to catch the show live, or you can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device with telling the device to say the keyword and then say play the podcast Geek News Central. We are live at live.geeknewscentral.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Twitch. And we're on Mixer, and sometimes it works the way it's supposed to, and sometimes it doesn't. It has a hard time with YouTube. This is the big challenge we're having right now. But of course, you can join our chat room too. Our chat room is available at geeknews.chat. And this is a Mastodon chat server. Join me over there and have a chit chat with the team. Of course, you can join our Slack channel as well by sending me an email. If you have a comment on today's show, it's real easy, geeknews@gmail.com. Or of course, you can follow me on Twitter or on Facebook. Partner shows include No Better Than Average. Excuse me, the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site, progear.guru, the New Media Show at newmediashow.com, the Podcast Legend Show. Of course, you can pick up Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. I tell you, this show is really made possible because of our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And you too can get hooked up on some great deals with GoDaddy by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's where all my codes are at. Using these codes helps me help you in keeping this show online, keep us moving forward, and of course, paying the bills here. And I got great deals for you, whether it be a 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a 99-cent.com, whether it be a $1 a month economy hosting, whether it be a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Those are two deals you really just can't find anywhere else. Again, there's a $1 a month economy hosting and a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting with the free domain. And normal domain cost is $8.49. So you guys do the math. For $12, get a free domain and a year's worth of hosting service. Of course, business owners, you can check out 1 month free trial of the GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the Geek News Central podcast. Be honest, tonight I started the show, I got a little frustrated. A little frustrated because I started the show and was up and running and had really started the intro to the show and this thing fell over on its face. I have no idea what happens. I have a suspicion what's going on. And anyway, I will have to do some, I think we're going to make a change because when I'm doing live, I can push two streams out of here, but for some reason, the folks, or at least the servers at YouTube, do not like the stream that's coming from the Wowza Stream cloud server. And that's one of our major destinations. And it causes some pain here for me when that doesn't work. Everything else seems to stay up good. Facebook stays up. Mixer stays up. Twitch stays up. It's just YouTube that falls over on its face. So sadly, it's one of those things. It's a, you know, we're about 2 weeks into this experiment and I'm just about done. I'm just about done using it with YouTube. So the clocks are moving forward soon. I don't think this Sunday. I think the next Sunday. I'm going to have to double check that. But it has been a very strange late September, early October here. Here in Hawaii, the trade winds have just been dead. And it has been miserably hot in high humidity. Very, very, very unusual. Everyone's complaining about it. I am. Matter of fact, it's such a point where I've had to set up some fans on this on the equipment here in the studio. Just because it just gets too hot. We've never had to run AC in the studio. And at this point, I'm close to having to do that. Just the way it's working out right now. So I guess it is what it is. But let me just talk a little bit about my wife got back from China. And I picked her up from, she went to Beijing. And she was on the ground like 18 hours and flew down, toured all day, flew back. Of course, she works with Hawaiian Airlines. She flew for free, walked in here like a zombie. But I picked her up in the car and she was telling me about Beijing, how clean it was. And she was just shocked, to be honest with you. And of course, the first question I'm asking her with is, where did you use your phone? Did you connect to Wi-Fi? You know, all these questions and, you know, and she even talked about installing an app. And I said, what's this app that you installed? And she says, oh, it's one of the persons told me about it. It's a good app to use while you're there. And I'm getting suspicious. And I'm like, let me see this app. Did you get it off the app store? Well, I think so. And I can't find it. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry to do this to you. Give me your phone. And I did a factory reset on it. I'm just a little too paranoid. Now, pretty easy to recover, you know, but I just, she, and I had told her, don't install any apps, stay off the Wi-Fi there. You know, if you got a data plan, you be on the data, you know, don't, and of course, don't listen to me. So anyway, better safe than sorry. So yeah, she got a clean install of iOS on her phone. And I feel a little bit better because this mystery app that she didn't know where it was or what it went. When she went down to Parade Rest, it was like having a brand new phone. And yeah, it was a little contention here, but I had to do it. But I also, I'm looking and I actually made the decision today. I'm looking at potentially going to Columbus to be with my team for a few days. And I may not, a week from like tomorrow, I'm considering flying out and being out for a week. So I'll let you guys know on Monday what the decision is on that. But I'm about 90% sure. I'm looking at airline tickets right now and I'm wincing a little bit because they're a little bit ridiculous at this point. But one thing that's new, I want to talk just a little bit about is that we just did an update to our PowerPress plugin. So it doesn't really mean a lot to all of you that are listening, but something that we're going to start doing on the website in the show notes, and it can't be done on the same day. At least I don't think so. And I'm going to talk to my team about potentially building a tool to do this, but what I've got running on my desktop right now is a stopwatch. And every time I'm going to change content articles tonight. I'm going to go ahead and hit a lap time so that we get a time hack. And I'm going to give these time hacks to Kirk so that when he tomorrow, when he has time to go back through, he'll be able to marry up these time hacks to basically what's going on within the show, so that when you come to the website and read the show notes, you're going to see time hacks next to the articles that will allow you to click on the time hack and on the website only at this point, jump to that specific point in the content. So if you want to come back and listen to a specific spot, you can. So that's the plan here in setting up these time hacks. And I'll try to do a few tonight during the show, post show, and trying to get some of those on to show you what it looks like. But it may be a full 24 hours before we get them fully integrated in the show notes. It's just because I try to get the show out and knock it out, and we're going to see how long it takes to actually do this. And maybe we'll even crowdsource it a little bit. But those of you, if you hear something interesting in the show and you send me the time hack that you see on your media player, on your device that you're playing the show by, say, hey, Todd, you said something profound at, you know, 8:22 or whatever it may be. And then I'll go back and I can actually update the show notes with that. So maybe we crowdsource this a little bit. Time will tell how this is going to work out. But that's kind of my plan, to try to see if we can implement this, and it's not going to take a massive amount of time and add to the overhead of the show. And if you guys don't like it, if it turns out that you guys don't think this is worth the time to do, if we don't see any activity on this, then we won't do it. So that's kind of the plan there. So I just wanted to let you know about this. All right, let's get into this story that is simply incredible. It's from Bloomberg Business Week, and it has exploded over the interwebs today. And there's companies in major damage control at this very moment, with all types of PR messages coming out, and people are freaking out in a big way. And I think if the best way to describe it is that China is being accused of using a tiny chip about the size of a pencil head, you know, the lead on a pencil, that small. They use a tiny chip to infiltrate U.S. companies. The actual image that the folks at Bloomberg put on their website shows a video card, and then with all the chips on it, and then start stripping it away, and you're left with a small speck on the card that was unexplained, that people couldn't figure out what this was. And this is the visual representation that is being claimed by Bloomberg to be of concern. And they say the attack by Chinese spies reached almost 30 U.S. companies, including Amazon and Apple, by compromising the technical supply chain. And this is supposedly through extensive interviews with government and corporate sources. And the word on the street is that they've been working on this story for a year. And we've talked on this show about this type of thing before. We talked about before how Snowden said the U.S. government was doing it the same, as equipment was outbound to other countries. But this is a whole new level. And it centers around one company, Super Microcomputer. And I can almost guarantee you that if you've ever built a computer, if you've ever built a server, they are like the Mac Daddy, big, massive company that brings in motherboards, chips, and stuff like that. So According to Bloomberg, the story goes back to 2015 when Amazon began quietly evaluating a startup called Elemental Technologies for a potential acquisition. And they were looking at a major expansion of their streaming video services that's now known today as Amazon Prime. Elemental made software for compressive massive video files and formatting them for different devices. Now, they were already well known in the space. Their technology had been used to stream the Olympic Games, communicate with the International Space Station, funnel drone footage to supposedly the CIA, and Elemental's national security contracts were not the main reason for the proposed acquisition, but they fit nicely with Amazon's government business, such as the highly secured cloud that Amazon Web Services was building for the U.S. government. And they were doing some due diligence on these folks, and they were looking at the security of Elemental and things going on at Supermicro Computers. Now, according to this article, these folks that were doing this testing found nested on the server motherboards this tiny microchip, not much bigger than a grain of rice, that wasn't part of the board's original design. Amazon purportedly reported the discovery to the U.S. authorities, which, according to the article from Bloomberg, sent a shudder through the U.S. intelligence community. Now, everyone is denying this at this point. Apple, which basically was looking at some of their server information or looking at some of these servers, supposedly got some of these boxes along with 30 other companies that received these servers with supposedly these chips on them. And of course, these chips had back doors and control and command software and everything they needed to basically own these machines. Software attacks are something we're well aware of, right? The world's grown accustomed to seeing software hacks, but hardware hacks are very hard. But let me remind you, and I like to say this on this show, and I get some negative feedback from you sometimes when I tell you that the red communist Chinese, and we need to remember this, the red communist Chinese control everything in China. And if they want to go to a company that's putting boards together, and they want to pull them in the back room and said, you will place this little microchip and integrate it into the board design. Do you not think that those companies will not do that? They will, and apparently they have. Well, at the same time, huge denials. Apple says, we know nothing. Nothing was compromised. We know nothing. I mean, they came out with a statement today, big. Said what Business Week got wrong about Apple. Well, what's funny is it says the October 8th issue of Bloomberg Business Week, well, this is an online article that came out today, incorrectly reports that Apple found malicious chips and servers on its network in 2015, as Apple has repeatedly explained to Bloomberg reporters and editors over the past 12 months, there is no truth to these claims. Apple provided Bloomberg with a statement before their story was published. Now, let's just talk about deniability here for just a second. Do you not think, let's just be frank, if Bloomberg has 50% of this right, and if they do, it'll still be the biggest coup spying attack yet. This will be major. Yeah, he got a piece of hardware. He put it in a rack. It's loaded with a Chinese hardware mod that lets Chinese in the back door. If this is even close . Do you not think the United States government has told Apple you will never, ever, 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 for force of being found face down in a ditch, ever say anything about this ever, 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 ever? Do you not think that these companies were sworn to secrecy? Amazon, denial. Everyone's making denials. This didn't happen. But yet, Bloomberg has a lot of interviews with people that probably, if are caught having made these discussions to Bloomberg, or be caught being the source of this article, will probably find themselves in a very dark hole for a very long time. According to Bloomberg, what the U.S. investigators found was the chip had been inserted during the manufacturing process. Two officials say by operatives from a unit of the People's Liberation Army. In Supermicro, Chinese spies appear to found a perfect conduit for what U.S. officials have now described as the most significant supply chain attack known to have been carried out against American companies. One official said investigators found that it eventually affected almost 30 companies, including a major bank, government contractors, and the world's most valuable company, Apple. Three senior insiders at Apple say that in the summer of 2015, it too found malicious chips on Supermicro motherboards. Apple severed ties with Supermicro the following year for what it described as unrelated reasons. In emailed statements, Amazon, which denounces acquisition, now check this out, its acquisition of Elemental in September 2015, Apple and Supermicro disputed summaries of Bloomberg Businessweek's reporting it's untrue that AWS knew about a supply chain compromise and issue with malicious chips or hardware modifications when acquiring Elemental, Amazon wrote. On this, we can be very clear. Apple has never found malicious chips, hardware, manipulations, or vulnerability purposely planted in any server. We remain unaware of any such investigation, wrote a spokesman for Supermicro. The Chinese government didn't directly address questions about manipulation of Supermicro servers, issuing a statement that read in part, supply chain safety in cyberspace, an issue of common concern, and China is also a victim. The FBI and Office of Director of National Intelligence representing the CIA and NSA declined to comment. The company's denials are countered by six current and former senior national security officials who, in conversations that began during the Obama administration and continued with the Trump administration, detailed discovery of the chips and the government's investigation. One of those officials and two people inside AWS provided extensive information on how the attack played out at Elemental and Amazon. The official and one of the insiders also described Amazon's cooperation with the government investigation. In addition to the three Apple insiders, four of the six U.S. officials confirmed that Apple was a victim. In all, 17 people confirmed the manipulation of Supermicro's hardware and other elements of the attacks. The sources were granted anonymity because of the sensitive, in some cases, classified nature of the information. One government official said China's goal was long-term access to high-value corporate secrets and sensitive government networks. Quote unquote, no consumer data is known to have been stolen. Now, this is how the hack worked. Number one, a Chinese military unit designed and manufactured microchips as small as a sharpened pencil tip. Some of the chips were built to look like signal conditioning couplers, and they were incorporated. They incorporated memory, network capability, and sufficient processing power for an attack. The microchips were inserted at Chinese factories that supplied Supermicro, one of the world's biggest seller of server motherboards. The compromised motherboards were built into servers assembled by Supermicro. The sabotage servers then made their way inside data centers operated by dozens of companies. And number five, when a server was installed and switched on, the microchip altered the operating system core so it could accept modifications. The chip could also contact computers controlled by the attackers in search of further instructions and code. This goes on and on and on and on. I want you guys to think about the ramifications of this. Devastating. Devastating. Industrial espionage. Government espionage. Military espionage. Free ride. Free access. So what have we done here in the United States over the years? We've outsourced and moved everything to China to have it built there. Our intellectual property continues to be stolen. I've talked about this extensively on this show. How teams of individuals go around the Consumer Electronics Show and take pictures, run through every menu, measure, do everything they can, but take the piece of gear apart to get detailed information on how to reverse engineer. But if they got a server, sit inside a company's, what do they do? It's easy. They just roam around, get what they want. Even if 50% of this story is true, this is huge. So when the U.S. government tells the Chinese government and Chinese companies, you can't do business here. And he goes, why? Telecommunication companies penalized, not able to do business here until there was a huge penalty paid. All kinds of stuff, right? So it makes you go, Are we stupid or what? Let's think about this for a little bit. Let's not even think about military espionage. Let's not think about government espionage. Let's just think about industrial espionage. Stealing plans, stealing chip designs, stealing future product ideas. When you own the server, you own the company. When you own the code and when you have access to everything, you don't have to invent anything. You just reverse engineer it and make it yourself. Or you just download the drawings, download the business plans. And then the ramifications are even more significant for U.S. military. It boggles my mind, the consideration of what could have been accessed. You know, we have a very limited ability to make chips here in the United States now. And considering you look at this, look at the computers you have and the processing power you have today, you look at the motherboard, you have no clue what's on that motherboard, what it's doing. Right? But when a company has hardware that sits in a rack for years or on your desk for years, what else is compromised? This, my Ohana, is probably only the tip of the iceberg. And I don't know about you, but it scares the living hell out of me to think what they could have accessed. Billions and billions and billions of dollars of intellectual property. Military secrets, governmental secrets. And again, we're not saying that potentially all this happened, but it could have. And what do you do when it's so big? When it's so big and when it's so bad, what do? You can't do nothing. You're owned. And you have to start over. You got to flush the server farm down the toilet, destroy it, and start over fresh. Every line of code is then susceptible. Everything. I can't even imagine the impact. An absolute mega freak out. This is why, if I'm going over to TechMe today and I look at this and I look at the number of companies that have responded to this article today, it's everybody. 9to5, TechCrunch, Gizmodo, New Republic, Bloomberg, Motherboard, Washington Post, Recode, CNET, Daring Firewall, The Register, EE Times, The Verge, CNBC, Mac Rumors, SiliconANGLE, everybody, IT Manager, Extreme Tech, Quartz, Forbes, Softpedia, New York Times, ZDNet, VentureBeat, Hackaday, The Hill. And then, of course, all these companies coming out with denials. Well, we didn't see anything. Nothing happened here. Nothing happened here. Makes you go, doesn't it? We've talked about this. Man, we've talked about this. Can you, okay, think about this one for a second. I'm going to run this hypothetical by you. Let's say we're getting ready to build a brand new ICBM. And we need some chips for that ICBM. We need some boards. Can you go to China to buy that? How about Russia? What if you can't make them? What if there's no one here to make chips for that? Or how about a JDAM? Some of our smart weapons. You know, electronics that are in those. Makes you go, what are we doing here? They just have to flip a switch and everything goes sideways. Are we owned? Is this digital IP thing gotten too big? Is it going to be the reason for the next war? Will the next war be fought because someone did a digital intrusion? This is pretty close to an act of war, if it's true. This is about as close as it gets. This is bad. Bad, bad, bad. This is like open up your drawers and say, hey, come look. Take a look. Yeah, you can just rummage through. Feel free. Take what you want. All right, I have these linked up in the show notes for you for sure. One network guy, just to tell you what his response was. One guy says, George Holtz, a legendary jailbreaker turned self-driving engineer, was skeptical of the Bloomberg story, but said a successful supply chain attack would still be nearly impossible to mitigate with conventional security tools. If you cannot trust your hardware, you cannot trust anything that the hardware checks. Fundamentally, there is no way to check for this software. And this is what they're calling the God mode hack. God mode. Berkeley's International Computer Science Institute described an alarming attack. The one individual there said, my initial reaction, and I can't say it on the show, folks, holy beep, beep. This is a God mode exploit in the system management subsystem. And again, affected companies are vigorously disputing the report. Of course they are. Their stock's going to get slaughtered if they can't be trusted. If their systems can't be trusted, it's too late. It's done. It's done. This is a done deal. If this is the case, it's done. Too late. We're already owned. They own us. Moving on here. Just can't believe it. I'm still shaking my head. Hey, do you think it's a smart idea to take a selfie in front of a lava pool or on the edge of a power plant smokestack or something like that, or on the edge of a skyscraper? Well, risky selfies have killed 259 people in 6 years. Wow. 259 people worldwide died from accidents occurred while trying to take a cool selfie. So when you're hanging out over the edge, trying to take that selfie, sometimes you forget to hold on and fall off. So be careful out there, all right? Fitbit data. Did you guys see my article on the website? 35 years from today, we talked about on the last show. Well, at the time I was writing that article, Fitbit data was used to determine when a stepdaughter who was found dead of the suspect, her Fitbit data showed exactly what time she died and how much she moved leading up to her death and where her body didn't go, because the father-in-law, or the stepfather said that he saw her drive by his house about 3 hours later. Yeah, that didn't happen. She was dead in her chair. She didn't move. And conflicting statements there. He's arrested. They charged him with suspicion of murder. So maybe it's not going to be your digital device that's going to get you, but the person that was attacked's digital information that's going to get you. I'm not saying it's going to get you, but in this case, here we are. Here we have a health tech data that is watching what's happening to people and being used in the court of law to get a warrant, get somebody arrested. Outstanding, yeah? And so I'm saying 35 years from now, someone's going to ask, where were you today at this time? And you're going to go, I don't know. And they're going to say, I do. Windows 10. Oh, no. Some Windows 10 users have learned the hardware that even if upgrades have gone smoothly in the past, it's still wise to back up those files before updating. Please, if you don't have an offsite storage, there's so many. There's Carbonite. There's S3. There's Dropbox. There's just gobsmack many of them that are offsite storage. I have cloud and I have a NAS in my house along with extra hard drives. I'm kind of this freak about data backup. Okay. Is everything going to be perfect always? No, but I'm pretty much sure that like my digital photos and stuff like that are safe. So why would you ever have a system where you don't have a backup? Some dude said he lost 23 years of data. Why would he not have it backed up? So Microsoft this week kicked off Windows 10 1809 rollout, and some users have found the update is wiping important files, including photos and music. So be aware here. If you see that there's a complaint about an Intel driver, stop. Don't do the update. All right. So you may want to turn your auto update off for a few days. Or make sure your data is backed up. If it's backed up, you're good. Go ahead, update away. Some announcements on the podcasting side. If you feel that you are good at storytelling, well, Google's launching a podcast creator program. And beginning today through November 18th, there's an application window that's open globally for the first round of Google Podcast Creator Program, which will kick off in January of 2019. So this is pretty exciting stuff. So if you think you would like to be part of this, link will be in the show notes. At the same time, Spotify has opened up a portal now that anyone that's, if they're not like Blueberry's is a partner with Spotify, and you can get on Spotify through Blueberry. But for folks that weren't hosting with us or self-hosting, they hadn't been able to up to this point. So Spotify's now opened up its podcast section to all. So anyone can submit over there, which is what they should have done in the first place, to be honest with you. YouTube TV has a DVR feature, and it's now a lot more powerful. A lot more of the stations are using it that were not before. So YouTube has announced that it's partnered with AMC, Disney, Fox, NBC, and Turner to make their program immediately available for DVR playback. So that's kind of cool. Some of them would let you do it on demand, but you couldn't fast forward through commercials. You will be able to now. Awesome. There's a report out that the iMac Pro 2018 and the Mac Pro, if you send them in for repair, after certain repairs are done on the device involving display, logic board, touch ID, and top case, which includes a keyboard, battery, trackpad, and speakers, they have to run a special diagnostic that's only available in Apple stores and Apple authorized service providers. And it's called the Apple Service Toolkit. If this is not run, the machine will not run. They have to run this to clear a bit or something. So this requirement is a result of the T2 chip, which integrates several previously separate components, including the system management controller, image signal processor, audio controller, and SSD controller. So it basically, if you don't go to an authorized place to get a repair, your machine may not work post-repair, which is kind of crazy. So there's lots of questions out to Apple on this, especially when the machines get old and Apple's no longer supporting them and you go someplace to get a machine repaired, which a lot of people do. What does that mean down the road? Windows 10 and Android are now a perfect match. Microsoft Your Phone app is one of the first apps that have come out. It plays basically Microsoft because the Microsoft phone is basically dead. Their new approach to mobile is about play nice with everyone and have apps that'll marry up stuff. So they've got a new app out. It's called Your Phone App, which gives you instant access to your mobile photos and text messages on your desktop, on your Windows 10 desktop. So that's pretty cool. So if you're a Windows user and you have an Android, this will sync up and it gives you a reason to avoid the iPhone. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Or if you are traveling internationally and you need to see some data, well, Twitter and Facebook all have like a low data mode or a data saver mode that you can turn on to cut down on data usage when you're traveling. So that's available now on the Twitter app as well. Remember a long time ago, Vizio had this TV data tracking stuff that was going on that this is a while ago. And they did a settlement in like 2017. And again, I can't remember. Well, let me see. Does it say when this originally happened? Oh, I don't have the exact date, but Vizio may be nearing a $17 million settlement for TV data tracking lawsuit. So that's up and available. Crap. I've been forgetting to hit the timer marker, Kirk. So we don't have very many time hacks. I'm sorry. All right. Google Pixel Slate is rumored and some specs are out and some pricing information. Of course, after a torrent of leaks that seem to have uncovered every last detail about the Google's forthcoming Pixel and Pixel XL phones, and they're looking at the tablet now. Word has it that Google Pixel Slate is on the docket for Google launch event on October 9th. This tablet is said to resemble the Microsoft Surface Pro, which was itself updated on October 2nd. So let me see. What are we looking at? Does it have a price on here? They said they were going to give the price, and they didn't. Well, we'll know on October 9th for sure, along with all the other announcements that Apple is going to make. All right, there's a new 2020 Ford Explorer that's been talked quite a little bit about. And I saw a bunch of these posts, and I don't know if Ford was doing a publicity push or not, but the 2020 Ford Explorer based police interceptor utility is the United States' fastest cop car, tops out 150 miles per hour, and it beats the Dodge Charger by 1.07 seconds. Get that. Very, very cool. Of course, the Charger has just a little bit better braking as one would expect. All right, the Fitbit Charge 3 goes on sale on October 7th for $150. So finally, the Charge has a proper touchscreen. So if you are a Fitbit user, so this is an update to the Charge 2. And this is be able to get this Charge 3 is going to be available on October 7th. And what else is here? The Charge mode will sell. Well, now, as with previous Charge models, the new one will set you back $150, and which still is a bit pricey compared to the $200 Versa watch. But still, $150 for a Fitbit, not a bad price, especially if you don't want to wear an Apple Watch. Uber is offering free rides on Election Day. Uber wants to help people get to the polls. The company CEO said that Uber wants to do its part. So it's helping voters register and get to the polls on Election Day. Uber will be deploying resources to make it easier for Uber riders in the country to get to their polling places. And it's teamed up with nonprofit organizations to register voters before. And then, of course, providing free rides to the polls on November 6th. And that's pretty cool. Get a free ride. It's a good move on Uber. Nice little publicity there for sure. Google Assistant now helps you compare ride hailing prices and summon a car. So this is cool. So you can say, hey, keyword, G-O-O-G-L-E, book a ride, or hey, keyword, get me a taxi to your destination. And then the assistant will then respond by listing off price estimates with current wait times for Uber, Lyft, Ola, Grab, Go, J-E-K. Of course, Grab, I don't think it's available in the United States. And many more ride-hailing apps, according to Google. So you can avoid longer lists and specify your preferred service. But who knows? Might be a kind of a cool way to check out pricing when you're at home. Motorcycle riders out there, have you heard about the Jarvis helmets before? Well, Jarvis is coming up with a carbon fiber smart helmet. It's putting you-know-who, A-L-E-X-A, in your head or on your head. So there's some new helmets coming out, and A-L-E-X-A will be joining you for a cool price of $799. But if you want a heads-up display, the Jarvis X-A-R helmet starts at $2599. All these come with a 2K front-facing camera for capturing video and photos. So, wow. Helmets have gotten crazy expensive. All right. The U.S. Department of Transportation has updated autonomous car rules. It will now acknowledge that that driver can refer to automated systems, whatever that means. But with preparing for the future transportation of automated vehicles, the DOT outlines additional safety principles, updates policy, and offers guidance to state and local governments. The integration of automated across our transport system has the potential to increase productivity and facilitate freight movement, says DOT Secretary Elaine Chao. But most importantly, automation has the potential to impact safety significantly by reducing crashes caused by human error, including crashes involving impaired or distracted drivers and saving lives. Now, wouldn't it be cool? We get to a point with these autonomous vehicles where we could go to the bar, have four or five beers, then get in the car and say, I'm drunk, keyword, drive me home. Don't have to call an Uber. You don't have to touch the wheel. You know, probably your automated vehicle will get you home safer than you will if you're hammered. That to me sounds like a great day. Or actually, the best thing is, take me to work, right? Just get in the car, you know, and, get out the tablet or whatever and say, hey, car, take me to work. That's the day I cannot wait for. But anyway, these updates by DOT is out. How many of you are living in cities with these little scooters? I've been hearing all kinds of people complain about them. I don't think we have scooters here in Hawaii. But Bird is a company that has these e-scooters. They're offering a delivery to users who want to use one all day long. With its new Bird delivery, a customer can request a scooter to be delivered to them at their home or their place of work must be dropped off by 8 a.m. and they can use it anytime throughout the day. I mean, lots of people complain about these, especially podcasters that do shows in Austin and places like that. They have nothing positive to say about these scooters. Are you guys riding any of these scooters? Are you renting them? You know, have you seen wrecks? Are people riding on the sidewalk? Or I don't know. To me, it's just a little, I guess it's a way to get around. Tourists are going to be riding these things for sure. Lots of accidents, lots of lawsuits coming, I'm sure, because of these little scooters. Netflix DVD marks 20-year milestone. Can you believe it's been 20 years for Netflix DVD? 20 years. How is that possible? That's crazy. I don't remember it being that long. Well, maybe. I got to Hawaii when? I got to Hawaii in 1997. Maybe. Wow, it's been that long. It's amazing, isn't it? Does anybody ever get any DVDs from Netflix? Do they even still do it? I think they do, but I don't think I've got a DVD in years from Netflix. I know, pay for it. Pay for the streaming only. Wi-Fi 6 gives wireless the big upgrade it really needs, quote unquote. Every upgrade in Wi-Fi is the next biggest thing. Its new name is 802.11ax. It's the next generation Wi-Fi that won't show up in devices until 2019. 802.11ax isn't really a particular user-friendly name, so that's why they're calling it Wi-Fi 6. Does it say what frequency this is going to run on? No. They say it's going to be better, faster, and all that stuff. So I'll leave it at that because the article didn't provide any specifications. Hey, that Samsung massive 8K TV. Yes, it can be yours. Now check this out. For $15,000. Is that nuts or what? Count me out. Next article, Netflix viewing is supposedly eating up a lot of the world's data. Video streaming service Netflix is the world's most data-hungry application, consuming 15% of global net traffic, according to research from bandwidth management company Sandvine. Video in general, of course, is used a lot. Think about YouTube and everyone else. So other media streaming services, such as embedded video and websites, account for 13.1%, YouTube 11.4%, and web browsing 7.8. Video accounts for 58% for the total volume of downstream traffic on the internet, followed by web browsing, gaming, and social media at 5.1. So, of course, it's putting huge pressure. We all love our media. We love it dearly, and that's why we like to consume as much as we can. A Soyuz MS-08 has returned to Earth after being at the International Space Station for 6 months. Two U.S. astronauts and a Russian cosmonaut kicked off World Space Week by returning home from a six-month stay on the ISS. So, successful landing. They're back. And good on the Russians for getting their two astronauts home. Be nice to see when SpaceX and those folks get that job and get that done. Can't happen soon enough. There's a new Yahoo app called Together. And it's a blatant ripoff of Slack. I mean, it almost looks like Slack. You know, Yahoo, they still like relevant. You know, with the data breaches they've had, I haven't used a Yahoo product in years. I guess Yahoo and Oath are hoping that you forget about their break-ins, all their data breaches and everything else. But anyway, Yahoo Together. It's available for Android and iOS. I think I'm just going to pass. CES is announcing a female speaker female speakers for 2019 after this year's backlash. So AMD President CEO Dr. Lisa Su will be one of its keynote speakers for 2009. Su is the second female speaker announced for next year. The CTA announced back in August that IBM Chairman, President, and CEO Ginni Rometty will speak about how technology can significantly improve our business. So that's two ladies that are going to be keynoting at CES. So nice to CES take a progressive step there and have these women in to speak. MoviePass has some new funding, and so that means it isn't going to go anyplace anytime soon. And of course, MoviePass has had some challenges here, but they raised $65 million in funding. So hopefully they'll be able to keep things moving forward. And maybe this is why they tried to give people back some daily movie watching. But it turns out people that have MoviePass are on average watching only one movie a month. That is not getting your money's worth. That's for sure. All right, Verizon is no longer selling the Google Pixel 2. So that's not available. Shouldn't come as a surprise, really. And even more surprising, the Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus is a steal at $380. This phone originally hit the market for $850. So this is a deal. This is a great phone. I'm going to tell you, I have an S8. This is a great phone. So it's for $380. I'm serious. You can't go wrong here. It's a great Android phone. It truly, truly is. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. $380. Factory unlocked too. That is a great deal. Nokia 7.1 hands-on is a $350 success story. Of course, it's an Android phone. This is a write-up by the folks at Android Central. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you on that if you're interested. Also, if you want to add a Bluetooth to your car, there's an $8 Amazon Basic Kit. It's a pretty slick little device. Now, all you have to have is the plug in your car for a headset jack, and you're good to go. $7.89. This was originally $30. This is a pretty good deal available. I'm not making any money on this link, but definitely the article will be up in the show notes for you to check out. I think that's going to bring me to the end of the content for today. How are we doing for time? Oh, we're doing all right. Let me go back and look at email and see what we have in the stack. So I got an email from Charles. He says, "Hey, Todd, in a recent show, you commented that the news has been skewed for a long time. I'm sure this is true. However, I do think there are ways to verify stories even back in the dark days before the internet. In high school, I listened to various shortwave broadcasts and additional local news outlets, and there were some interesting contrasts. An old BC-348 tube-type radio was my window on the world. Even that far back, China had some stories that made me wonder what they were smoking. Russia was far more conservative. The BBC, Dutch Well, and the Radio Netherlands were much more likely to agree with Voice of America or local news outlets. It's unfortunate many of the shortwave broadcasts have been shut down in favor of the internet. You can't filter the radio waves. Keep up the good work. I've been listening since show 16. Regards, Charles." I may have read that email twice. If I did, I apologize. But I want to thank everyone for hanging out with me here today. And hey, Andrew, hey, how are you doing? And Marcus, thanks about that. Thanks for coming on and being on the stream. Those of you that have been having challenges watching me on YouTube, we're going to try a different tactic on Monday. But I want to hear what you have to say about this Chinese infiltration of U.S. companies with these server chips. This has got to be the biggest story of the year. In my opinion, from a security standpoint, it definitely is as close as it comes to anything that we've talked about on the show in a very, very long time. But as always, hey, don't forget about my sponsor. Don't forget about GoDaddy, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. It's the place to go, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, geeknews@gmail.com is my email address. @geeknews is my Twitter account. And of course, I'll be back with you on Monday for another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. It's been my pleasure bringing you the show. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time, and we'll get this streaming thing figured out so that those of you on YouTube won't have such a bad experience. So if this works, we'll see everyone later. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.